The conference is really about looking at the liturgy as the foundation for the life and mission of the Church. It's not a conference about liturgical minutiae. It's about the place of the liturgy in the life of the Church, its foundation for the Christian life, its theological importance. Certainly, part of the conference will look at how we celebrate the liturgy, how we are formed to participate in the liturgy. But most importantly, the aim of the conference, I think what Monsignor Rey would like, is that people would go away understanding that the true celebration of the liturgy, the dignified, the proper celebration of the liturgy, is a necessary foundation for the Christian life and for the new evangelization. That is to say that if we don't celebrate the liturgy as the Church gives it to us, as the Church wants us to celebrate it, and as Pope Benedict expressed in Sacramentum Caritatis, with all the beauty and the dignity of the Ars Celebrandi, if we don't do that, then somehow we're not feeding our Christian life as well as we could. We're not encountering Christ in the liturgy as well as we could. Therefore, our Christian lives will suffer, and our ability to be evangelists in the world of the 21st century will suffer.
And you mentioned the Year of Faith, which part of the Year of Faith is celebrating the 50th anniversary of the Second Vatican Council, which did so much to renew the liturgy. But it's also a part of the new evangelization, which you also mentioned. Could you elaborate a little bit about the part, both looking back to the past with the council and its reforms, and also looking to the future? Maybe give a little bit of elaboration about how liturgy and liturgical celebration affects our ability to evangelize.
Well, firstly, we need to look at what the Council said in Sacrosanctum Concilium and read that with the mind of the Council Fathers, the spirit of the times, the spirit of the liturgical movement which led into it, that spirit which wished to promote real, actual participation in the liturgy, connection with the liturgical action by all of Christ's faithful, and that and a renewal based on that. And some of our speakers will look at the Constitution, perhaps at what it's not only at what it said, but also at what's happened since. And, you know, as Blessed John Paul II said in the liturgical renewal following the Council, there have been lights and there have been shadows. We need to reflect today at the beginning of the 21st century, as we celebrate that 50th anniversary, we need to reflect on those lights and those shadows, take what is good, leave behind what we got wrong, and learn from those lessons. You know, we're not in the 1960s now. We're at the beginning of the 21st century. We're looking at how can we bring Christ to this world 50 years later. Certainly, the liturgical renewal has given many fruits, and people rightly expect to participate actively and actually in the liturgical rites today when they're celebrated in the modern form or in the older form. You know, that certainly is a fruit of the Council. But we also need to say, you know, are our people sufficiently formed in what the liturgy is? Are they able to connect with the action of Christ in the liturgy? Do we form our clergy and religious as well as we could in the spirit of the liturgy, that spirit which the Council Fathers would have known through the activities of the liturgical movement? Or have we perhaps gone in some directions which need to be corrected? We need to look again at the question of the reform of the reform. Are there things that need to be changed in the official rituals? Are there things we left behind which could have a liturgical and even an evangelical value in the Church of the 21st century? All of those things we need to look at. And I think we need to look at that in a spirit that is not partisan. We're beyond these old right, new right arguments now. Whatever we do, whether we celebrate the new rite or the old rite, we need to do it with a liturgical spirit as the Church has handed on to us, not as my celebration of what I want to do or of my little group or whatever. No, it's the Church's liturgy. It's what the Church has given us, and we need to do that as well as possible so that whoever comes to our churches sees the action of Christ in its richness, in its beauty, in its splendor, and meets Christ through that.
Speaking of liturgical participation and the full and actual participation of the faithful in the liturgies, There's a lot of question about what does actual participation mean. Can you speak to that both theoretically but also in practice? You know, what does it mean on a theoretical level, and how is that going to translate in the pews, or how would we like for that to have its effect amongst actual people in the church today?
I think we need to understand that active participation, as it has been called, participatio actuosa, as the council called it, is first and foremost about the connection of mind and heart and body, but all three, with a clear priority of mind and heart, with the action of Christ in the liturgy. It's about consciously being engaged with what's going on. Now, certainly, there are liturgical ministries which require physical activity, but we all know we can be very busy at the liturgy and have our minds elsewhere and our hearts distracted. It's minds and hearts first, external activity following on from that and consonant with that.
Can you tell us a little bit about what you're hoping to achieve with this conference? I mean, you've brought people, you've brought, again, a number of cardinals, a number of bishops, people from all over the world here to Rome to talk about the liturgy. What kind of outcomes are you looking for coming out of this conference?
First of all, I think, and I think Bishop Ray said this in his introduction to the conference, you know, we want to pay tribute to Pope Benedict XVI and all that he did, both as cardinal and as pope, in raising the liturgical question in the life of the Church and promoting liturgical renewal, in promoting what some are coming to call the new liturgical movement. And certainly, this conference is a step further along the path of that new liturgical movement. It's a movement, really, which looks forward, and forward in a broad sense, so that there is best practice across the board, so that there is the liturgy celebrated with that Ars Celebrandi, with fullness, with beauty, with dignity. And we hope to publish the conference proceedings in several languages, and we hope that the wisdom of the various speakers will be available to many through that to promote authentic liturgical renewal across the board in the Church of the future, and make a significant contribution to liturgical formation through that.
And finally, going back to a theoretical question and something you've already alluded to, the Second Vatican Council called the Eucharist the source and summit of the Christian faith, and that's something that's been emphasized and repeated by the Pope since then, especially Pope Benedict. What does it mean that the liturgy is at the heart of our Christian faith?
Well, if we think about it, we're not Christians until we come to the liturgy to be baptized. The liturgy makes us Christians. The action of Christ baptizing us through his minister in the rite of baptism does that. And if we think through all of the sacraments, we won't do it all now, but if you think through them all, that's where Christ touches us most profoundly. It's where he heals us. It's where he gives us particular graces. It's where he nourishes our daily Christian life in the Sunday Eucharist and the daily Eucharist, if possible. Without that liturgical connection with Christ, Christianity is lacking something essential. The liturgy is the source and summit. It's where our life comes from, and it's also where it's going to, the heavenly liturgy, but also the liturgy here on earth, where we come, yes, rejoicing, carrying our sheaves, as the psalm says, but also bringing our sorrows, bringing our tears, which, through Christ's action in the liturgy, can be turned to joy.
Domenico, and thank you for taking time to speak with us this morning. Is there anything else you'd like to add before we finish up?
We've been very blessed with a large participation from across the world. We're in the center of Rome, which is marvelous, and we're deliberately here at the center of Rome so that we can be close to Peter, close to Pope Francis, the successor of Peter, and many of our participants hope to join with him on Saturday to manifest their communion with him, to pray with him at the Mass at St. Peter's on Saturday morning.